One, two, three,
I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight for Diz Dad's podcast number 270 for February 22nd, 2015, are Ryan Dreichler.
Hi, everybody.
Justin West.
Good evening.
And Sean McCumber.
Hey, everybody.
Now, tonight, we're going to be talking about Run Disney, and I apologize for any technical issues. We're kind of working through a couple of things. The site was down until just before we went live, so hoping that the sound is improving. Anyway, welcome to the Diz Dads podcast live. It's always an adventure when we're working without a net like this, but tonight, we're going to be talking about Diz Dads and Run Disney. But before we get into that talk, I want to thank our podcast sponsor, Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. The next time your family's considering a vacation to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, on the Disney Cruise Line, or another themed entertainment family destination, consider working with a Fairy Tale Journeys travel agent. They'd love to take care of all of that detail work and the time sitting on hold on the phone lines and doing the research pieces and letting you focus on the fun. You can check them out at fairytalejourneys.com. All right, guys. So tonight's podcast, I mean, we're maybe a little less coordinated than we usually are. I know that's hard to believe it can get less coordinated. But we're talking Run Disney, and we're talking Run Disney on a day when both the Princess Half Marathon was run at Walt Disney World, and we got a big announcement from Run Disney. Ryan, why don't you kind of get us started by talking just a bit about the exciting announcement today from Run Disney?
So this morning, I logged into to Twitter and saw people tweeting furiously that the Disneyland Paris race, which had been rumored for a long time, had actually been announced by Run Disney. So this is a race that has been in the planning stages for a long time. They first announced it, I think, in 2013, or there were surveys about it in 2013 where they talked about a race and room package for $1,100, and the race bid at that point was going to be $70, which is substantially cheap compared to the races in Florida. They later did some more stuff about it, and then in 2014, they actually had a race for cast members, and at the completion of that race, they gave all cast members a button that said, stay tuned for the Disneyland Paris Half Marathon, which is coming in September 2015. So that had the Disney running community all excited that this race was coming, and then nothing more was said about it. And so people had known that it was out there. There had been lots of rumors about it. Disney has been talking about it for a while, but it just never seemed to materialize. And then this morning, before Princess, they announced that they were actually going to hold it in September, late September of 2016. So it's still 2 years out, and the information is still pretty sparse. If you go to the Run Disney page for it, it's just basically a page that says enter your information to request more info. So it doesn't tell a whole lot about it. If it's the course that was originally announced, it runs through Disneyland Paris, through the park, and through the Disneyland Paris Downtown Disney. I thought that was interesting because it leaves off the Disney Studios park, which is there. So I'm not sure if that was being lumped into Disneyland Paris. And then after that, it goes out, and there's 8 or 9 miles of running through the French countryside, which should be pretty amazing. So that's the information that's out there right now. It still hasn't been fleshed out. I think it's September 22nd through the 26th of 2016 is what they're looking at.
Okay, so it sounds like they're kind of slotting this right in between the annual Disneyland half timing and the Disney World, Disney Wine and Dine half weekend.
Yep, exactly. That's right in between it. Disneyland half is at the very beginning of September, and then Wine and Dine or Tower of Terror, depending on – it would actually be between Tower of Terror if that comes back. Okay. Otherwise, it's between that and Wine and Dine.
Right. Well, this year's Wine and Dine is being run – the weekend is November 6th, 7th, 2015, obviously because of the moving out the Tower of Terror run. I have to guess that given the expected construction at Hollywood Studios, it could be another 2-3 years before the Tower run comes back, just because they're going to have a hard time routing it with major construction happening in the park.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. There were a lot of people that were frustrated that that race went away. But it is what it is.
All right, so let's kind of take a step back from Paris. Although, actually, before we step away, I've got three guys here with me on the panel who have run a variety of Run Disney races. Anybody here, starting to look at what it costs to fly to Paris?
Yes.
So talk to me, Justin. Is this one have you intrigued enough that you'd be willing to travel internationally for it?
I don't think so. Not that I'm not interested in doing more Run Disney events. It's more just a personal taste of I'm not really interested. There's too many places I'd rather go besides Paris.
All right. Now, Sean, on the other hand, has already run the coast to coast. So you're looking for the Intercontinental medal now?
No, I'm. This is the year I'm going to build up to the coast to coast. But for those of us who've been on the cruise, we technically already have done an international Run Disney event.
Yes, in the Bahamas.
That's right.
Bahamas. I mean, and last time I checked, that is not the U.S. So
No, it is officially the Bahamas. So you're right.
And part of me is thinking if I can somehow get that inheritance a little early, maybe I can do a coast-to-coast, a castaway, and I'm betting it'll be a continent-to-continent or some kind of challenge medal, because why would they not offer you the chance to get more medals?
Of course. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think that's the thing that will really get people enticed is if there is that additional layer of bling, if you can get a intercontinental or country-to-country medal or the Epcot World Showcase medals where you can get all the countries.
Okay, now there is a challenge for the Run Disney folks, right? Schedule a race in every country in Epcot so that you could do the Run the Continents.
There are people that would pay to do it. It probably wouldn't be a huge number, but I bet they could get 1,000 people at every race pretty easily, or 1,000 people to do the entire challenge, which is insane to me.
Yeah.
Well, and there were people that were with us at Star Wars that had done Marathon Weekend Castaway, and they flew in that Friday to make it to get their coast to coast all in the span of, I think, 12 days.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, I saw people on Twitter as soon as they announced the Castaway Key, addition to the coast to coast piece, who it was like people going, okay, I know this is stupid, I know this is crazy, but I just booked it.
Yep. Well, Castaway is crazy to me because it's that Disney got people to pay for something they were giving away for free.
and that they like, and that they went back to giving away for free 2 weeks later.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, and now we do get the awesome medals that instead of the cheapo cheesy ones that.
Yeah, that is a good change. I'm looking forward to that on the DizDad cruise, is to actually get something to replace the plastic Mickey winner medal that they've been given out in prior races.
Now, that you get for winning the trivia contest too. not that I've ever won one.
Well, now let me ask this, because I'm curious. So, Sean, you've run the Castaway Key 5K, you know, since they rolled out the new medal, right?
No, I have not.
Okay, so you're looking forward to doing that this June. Is the idea.
Yes, but I still count it, and I don't care if anybody disagrees.
Now, this was the part that I wasn't sure about. So they're still using the new metal, or have they gone back to the old metal? Since it's free again.
At least for this year, it's the new metal.
Okay. So actually, that's a nice segue into kind of where we were headed next, because we have talked in the past about Run Disney and about the excitement of Run Disney events, and we've done podcasts. We even did a live show several months ago talking about Run Disney, and the reason that we're bringing it back up again on a live show is that we started bouncing something around in the private DizDads group on Facebook in particular, and we thought that maybe talking about this publicly would be a good way to get it rolling. And that is the idea of doing a sort of our own adjunct to the Run Disney races. Ryan, I think it was you who kind of got us started on the concept. Why don't you explain the concept of a virtual 5K, which is what we're talking about here?
So a lot of people actually use virtual 5Ks as fundraisers for other events. And so it's an opportunity for people that wouldn't normally get to run together to run together virtually. Usually you have some allocated period of time, so it could be a weekend, it could be over a span of a month, but you have to set out and run the distance. So, and then you kind of log back to the group that you did the distance that you said you were going to do. So usually it's a 5K, so you went out and you ran 3.1 miles. And then after that, a medal will be sent out. So you get the medal, you get the chance to run together and have kind of camaraderie for that. But you're all doing it from in your own local area. So it's a way for people to kind of bond together. And it's an opportunity to usually fundraise for something as well. And you get a neat little medal that goes along with it.
Right. And so that's kind of the concept that we were starting to play with, in that, you know, we know we've got sort of two groups of guys that are part of our DizDads community that are really involved or interested in, at least, running and Run Disney. We've got a few guys like, Sean and Ryan, who have run quite a bit, and Justin, let me back up. Sean and Ryan, who have run a number of races. Ryan runs all the way up to the marathon. He's done the Goofy. Sean, who's building up to that, you've been running, what, 5 and 10 Ks, and have you run a half yet, Sean?
That is this September.
Okay. So this September you build up to the half. So he's been working his way up. And then, Justin, who really used a Disney race as motivation to get himself back in shape.
A number of times.
Hey, I didn't say what shape it was.
Yes, I've done the half in January twice now, and I did the Tower of Terror 10 miler last fall.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you went back and did Tower of Terror again.
So, I'm planning on the half in next January as well. So
okay. So see, I can't even call Justin a running newbie anymore because he keeps going back. But I guess what I was getting at is that he really used that as a target for getting him going. And so I think that the idea of the virtual 5K that we started bandying about was about trying to kind of bring those two groups together a bit. At least that was part of what my goal was. I mean, I noticed that, you know, when we all get together on a race weekend, the guys who are running a lot, you know, they stop by a couple of times, and we don't necessarily get to see a lot of them when they're running four races in 4 days.
We have the bedtime of a six-year-old.
And the nap time. And meanwhile, you know, there are guys who are just starting running, and maybe, you know, that half marathon seems to be, you know, an intimidating target. And then I noticed that Sean had been running a series of shorter races in an effort to kind of build up his endurance. And Sean, why don't you talk a little bit about that? Because I thought it was a really interesting goal that you had in terms of building up using these 5Ks.
Oh, okay. Well, this year, well, actually not this year, last year, 2014, in addition to being a lawyer, I have so much time that I also teach Taekwondo. And my students were all challenged to do fitness for the year, various things. We did 30-day challenges. Well, the kids gave each of the instructors a challenge for the year that we pulled out of the hat, and mine was to do 9 5Ks in a year.
Okay.
And for the record, I did 12.
Nicely done.
I made the kids do them with not all of them. I made all the kids who were part of the challenge at least come to one of the races and do it with me. And my poor daughter Grace had to do many of them with me. It's much to her chagrin and my amazement. She completed all of them, and the last one she did, she got her PR, which, you know, I'm a fan of. I don't know if it was an endurance thing or building back up. It was actually just getting my fat behind back into some normal shape.
Sure. And I think a lot of us are in that place where, you know, we're getting ready. We realize we need to do something to improve our overall health. And the idea of a half marathon is more than a little intimidating. But a 5K is a little more approachable. And now we get into this problem of, you know, we're all over the country, and when we get together, you know, yeah, we get together marathon weekend and people are running, but we also like to spend our time, you know, hanging at Beer Garden and at Ohana, and it's difficult to mix those together. And we thought, you know, maybe what we need to do is, or at least my thinking was, let's find a way that we can do the running part, which everybody is essentially running alone anyway, and maybe do that part together virtually. And all of this is kind of swirling together as this concept of a virtual 5K comes around. And we, to be completely blunt, had hoped to be a little bit farther along in the planning process at this point when we scheduled to do this show. We're not quite where I would like us to be. I got tied up dealing with the real world for a bit, and so the virtual world kind of got put on hold. But roughly speaking, we're going to come up with our own medal design, get our own medal created, and then we're going to create a Diz Dads virtual 5K. So what I'm hoping to do soon is to get a design settled on for a medal, and we got a couple of submissions when we first started talking about this, but I'd like to see if we could get a broader input there. I know that Barry sent us a model. I think that Jason might have sent one in as well. I'm not sure who else might have.
Wait, what did Barry send us? Like a block of cheese?
He actually sent us something that would almost could almost be mistaken for a Dole Whip. I think that was the one he sent. I'd have to look back again. So that seems to have been one of the things, you know, Dole Whip has come up a lot. Bacon has come up a lot. So I guess one of the things I want to try and do now with the panel is go around and get some ideas for, you know, what we ought to call this Diz Dads Virtual 5K. And since, you know, it's been part of the conversation from early on, I'm going to put Sean on the spot here first and get a suggestion from Sean for what he thinks we ought to call this, you know, Diz Dads Virtual 5K.
Oh, dear Lord. Diz Dad's 5K works just fine for me. I'm
all right,
not
all right.
Very
so Sean is all for the simple and straightforward Diz Dad's 5K. Let's see. What do you think there, Ryan? What do you have up your sleeve?
I like alliteration. So what about Dizdad's Dash?
Even so better.
5Ks are commonly referred to as dashes. They're shorter runs in the distance community. All right, Justin, what do you think? We've got Dizdad's Dash. We've got Dizdad's 5K.
Oh, I don't know. The Dizdad's Run for Glory. Or something.
All right, so anybody in the chat room have any suggestions? This would be a nice place to bring them up. Jason Paulus in the chat room here has kind of inadvertently, I think, without realizing it, brought up the next topic that I wanted to talk about a little bit. And that is that, you know, a virtual 5K is a really nice tool for fundraising for a charitable project. And, you know, Dizdad's community has been really quite generous with a number of causes. On an annual basis, we've done some fundraising for Give Kids the World. You know, Carl and Jay Gilbert kind of led our efforts that supported Special Olympics just recently. Sean kind of got us organized behind a particular form of you know, supporting a search for a cure for a particular form of muscular dystrophy with his race at Disneyland a few months ago. So we've had a number of different, you know, charitable projects that we've adopted. And I was, you know, hoping that we could kind of brainstorm a little bit and think about what we might want to use for our own race here and a charity we'd like to support. Give Kids the World is a great organization. I don't want to knock them at all. I continue to support them myself, and the community continues to support them. But there are a lot of Disney community folks who are behind Give Kids the World, and I was thinking this might be an opportunity for us to, you know, give some attention maybe to another worthy cause that may not get the attention that Give Kids the World get, and might also be pulling out the Q word here, but you know, quintessentially somehow connected to our community. So, thoughts, panel, people in the chat room, anybody want to pipe up and make some suggestions?
Well, I mean, Aaron, I think you had mentioned this to me, and it was about 12 years ago. I did the Out of the Darkness walk for the American Society for Suicide Prevention, and that was we started at like 6 p.m. and walked 20 miles for the course of the night and to raise money for suicide awareness. And I think we ended up walking back to Soldier Field, which was the 20-mile mark, at like 4 a.m.
Wow. Yeah, and just to give some people some background, you know, the Dizdad's community has been amazingly lucky. I've been a part of this community. I think I figured it out. I've been a part of this community now for, I think, almost 6 years, and the community's been around longer than me. I'm certainly not the one who started this. So In that time period, though, I mean, I think we figured it out. It was roughly 2007 that the group kind of coalesced on the message boards, and so far in you know, 7+ years of the Dizdad's community, we've actually only had one active member of our community that that's died, and that was a guy who posted on the boards under the screen name Single Dad, and Single Dad was in a tough situation. I don't want to go into his personal details, but in any case, the only dad that we've lost in those 7 years is one that we lost to suicide. And so that's what got me thinking about suicide prevention as something that uniquely had touched our community. Jason in the chat room mentions Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. I think that's a great cause and certainly a worthy one to consider. Anybody else have other suggestions as well? What I'm hoping to do is collect, you know, 4 to 6 suggestions and then maybe post a poll and see if we get, you know, broad community support for one or another.
Go ahead, Ryan. Justin.
Oh.
Okay. I have two causes that I find very dear and close to my heart. I'm not going to suggest that we should necessarily adopt one of these, but I'd like to put it out there just so that people can look them up. Anyway, but one is the Live Life Foundation, and it's to fund research for MPS, which affects my cousin and his wife have a daughter with MPS type 3, I believe. It's an incurable disease, and you can find more information on livelife.us. for that, and then also the Kawasaki disease fund, and that's we lost my niece to Kawasaki disease about 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, and those are both worthy causes. They're not very well known, but I just wanted to put those out there in case anybody wanted to learn more about them.
Sure. Thanks for those, Justin. Ryan, did you have a suggestion?
One of the things that I think touches at least some of the people in the Disney community from some of the stuff that I've read on the boards is autism. So I wondered if maybe that could be, and I'm not sure which organization we would go or support with that, but that was something that I can think of that seems to come up at least in a lot of the conversations on some of the message boards.
Sure. All right. I continue to suggest if folks in the chat room have other causes that, you know, they think would be appropriate, mention them in the chat room, send me email about them. We're going to make a decision fairly soon, I think, because I'd like to get this whole project moving forward. But, it felt to me like this was an important thing to have figured out before we started plowing forward, because I wanted people to know what it was they were signing up to participate in. And, since we'll be making a contribution on behalf of the group once, we collect registrations, thought everybody should be involved at least in some way in the decision of who we would choose to support. All right. So talk to me a little bit about time frame. Ryan mentioned that usually there's a defined time frame that, people need to complete the run within. I don't know, anybody on the panel here have an idea of what you think, would be a good time frame to have people complete their run within?
I normally would say soon because, it gets warm in the South, but I don't think that's going to be a problem for a while. So
I think sometime in the spring, I don't know when we're going to be ready to launch this, but you'd want to. If you are, in fact, training for something like half marathon on the Disney marathon weekend, you might want to be at least as far along as a 5K by early summer, late spring, early summer.
Right, that's a good point. One of the things I was thinking was the possibility of, starting our time frame, maybe having the official, beginning of our event, perhaps be Father's Day, right? Because that gives us an easy tie-in, and would allow anybody who decided to to run the Castaway Key 5K on the Disdad's cruise, they could use that as their entry, because that's right after Father's Day.
Yep. Well, I will actually be there for Father's Day.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're going
to
be.
I decided to do back-to-back cruise, so I could run it on Castaway Key on Father's Day.
That would be cool.
I don't know why I felt like sharing.
I think that would be good, because if we want to make this more inclusive, we could at least you know, share on, you know, I could write something up for the website that included a couch to 5K plan. And those are usually 9 or 10 weeks just for the plan to get people up to the point where they feel comfortable covering that distance. So if we need at least 10 weeks to do that, that would kind of put the soonest we could do it at mid-May. So, and that's assuming...
That's assuming you're ready with the article tomorrow.
Yeah. So that's... So shooting for the time frame for running this to be mid-June, that gives us time to circulate the article. People can think about it and start looking at what they want to do, particularly if there's even some work they might want to start doing a little before Couch to 5K to warm up for it. And that also puts time-wise pretty good for people that maybe just want to take that Couch to 5K and use it as a base for training for Wine and Dine or for January.
All right. So I think that gives us a good starting point. And, you know, I want to give people a big enough window that we're not forcing people who live in places where, you know, running a 5K in late June and early July is not necessarily a, you know, physically smart thing to do. That those folks still get a chance to complete it. On the other hand, I know that we don't want to leave it, you know, too open, because part of the camaraderie of a virtual 5K is that everybody is running, you know, in different places but around the same time. So what do you think about a back end?
I don't think we'd want to let it go for more than 4 weeks, because we want to be able to get people their medals, and we'd like to send them out. It would probably be good to send them out at about the same time. So, I think probably less than 4 weeks would be a very reasonable time frame to get people to do that. And we could probably keep it shorter than that. I think somewhere between 2 and 4 weeks.
All right. What do you think, Sean? We're going to, or Justin, either one of you, we're going to scare people away if we tell them we want them to run a summer 5K?
No. You can find a day where it's, you know, not unbearably hot, and if you're in the South, you're used to it anyway.
And if you're running on Castaway Key, yeah, it's ridiculously hot.
Yeah, I would give them 4 weeks, and I would do it. You know, this, I think it's fine exactly the way we've set it.
All right, so I think we have a time frame, because there seems to be some consensus. The folks in the chat room aren't scared away with it, so we'll go with 4 weeks, kicking off Father's Day 2015. Now we've got a target. Ryan, you've got a target for working on the. You know, training article. I've got a target for getting the metal issue figured out. If anybody's got suggestions for metal designs, and I know we're still talking a bit about name ideas, you know, send them on over to me. You can send them to podcast@dizdads.com. You can also, you know, go ahead and tweet them up on Twitter if you want public involvement already, or post them in the Facebook group. Any of those are great ways to get that information to me. And, you know, who knows? I'm probably going to – I'll come up with some sort of a movie prize package or something like that to give to people, you know, the winner of our metal design contest, whatever that ends up being. All right. So I think that this is a great start to maybe give a broader dad community an opportunity to get involved in running is a fitness activity. I can't imagine that I'm going to be running a half marathon anytime soon, but you know, I think I might even be able to drag myself 3.1 miles.
Well, and you don't have to run. I think that's the important part, particularly when you look at all the encouragement that Jeff Galloway has given, is that this is really about becoming a more inclusive way to exercise. You know, it's not about people that can just get out there and run for hours on end. You know, you can run for a little bit and walk for a little bit, and particularly when you're starting out, you know, taking that time to walk is, you know, really, really important, so that you don't get injured.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because, you know, I don't think I can stress enough. I mean, we're talking about this being a good starting point, but 3.1 miles is a lot for somebody who's been pretty sedentary. I speak as a sedentary guy. You know, I work at a desk job. I'm behind a computer when I get home because I'm doing DizDad's community stuff. I know I don't move as much as I ought to. And so, you know, I guess what I'm getting at is, if you're going to get up and start doing this, please, you know, talk to your doctor first, make an appointment, and make sure that it's safe and healthy for you to do this, and make sure that you can proceed in a healthy way as you build up to your run. You know, Justin, you've had issues where injury has gotten in the way of your training and your run.
Yeah, there's definitely something you need to learn, is that there is a difference between pain and injury. You can work yourself through pain, but an injury, if you continue to go, you'll get yourself in more trouble than you are already with that injury. So it is important to learn to listen to your body, as they say. You know, every step I take often It is like the receptors in my body saying ouch, 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 ouch. But you know, you for those of you who have met me, I'm not exactly the vision of what you would consider a runner. But that's kind of why I did challenge myself to do the half marathon. It's a goal that's out there, and it's not something you can fake your way through. So if you're like me, and this, it's how I was able to get through it, is, you know, you got to set yourself a plan and stick to it. And if you fall off of it, don't give up. Get yourself back on track.
So Justin kind of gave us the background. Sean, talk just a little bit about, you know, what you did to kind of get yourself, because you were relatively physically fit before you started running all these 5Ks. You were training, you were teaching taekwondo. You were a fairly active guy. But what kinds of things did you do to get ready to run, you know, a series of 5K races?
I'm a really bad person. Nothing. I just those couch to 5Ks, they're great. I just go. I was a runner as a kid, so for me to just want to run, it's when the mood hits, I go. Although age has caught up with me, and as I finished the Star Wars 10K, I decided that I had enough energy to do a full day at Disneyland. I'm only 41. I could do it. And what I didn't realize is that all of that running and not a lot of race cool down led to me having a slight case of tendinosis in my Achilles tendon, which hurt like hell for a good month before I finally got it back under control. So I have started to realize that maybe doing more of the stretching before and after will help with that issue. But as far as what did I do, nothing. I just go out and run. I'm one of those people that has that handcuff called a Fitbit, too. So I'm constantly watching my steps and validating my life by what a little device on my wrist says I did.
Hey, you know, whatever motivates you, right? I mean, you set a goal, and if nothing else, the Fitbit tells you how you're doing relative to the goal you set for yourself.
Little nugget about that for you all, though. If you happen to be like me and you dance in your car, I'll admit it, I dance in my car, and your hand moves, that causes the Fitbit to register a step. Just a little aside, if you're one of those, you know, bedtime cheaters who's like, oh crud, I'm 500 miles away, you can just shake to your dancing and it doesn't, it, you know, sorry, there's just a little another why am I still talking moment.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And I do remember recently seeing something where, you know, there are some like fitness apps for smartphones that count steps as well. And from the things that I remember reading, the apps do you know, just as good a job counting steps as a Fitbit does, as long as your phone is always on you. So that's another option for people who don't want to spend money on another device, but want to, you know, use a tool like that to give them a goal to track how they're progressing in terms of, you know, getting ready for a virtual 5K or a longer race.
Yeah, the Apple Health app. That's native on all iPhones now is really good at that, and the way that it tracks it tracks everything. I started using that because I don't have a Fitbit. My wife has one, and I wanted to get something like that. So it's neat to it's there and it's always running in the background, so you don't have to start an app to get it to track things. Just you go in and look, and it'll actually pull up for as long as you've been on that particular version of iOS. It's got that data stored for all the walking that you've ever done, and you can map it and things like that.
Wow!
And it's neat.
Okay, no wait. I have to say, I've never used the app before. Right?
Yeah.
I have an iPhone 6, but I've never used the app before. And so as you're talking, I just opened it, and it's been tracking, like,
yeah,
ever since I got it.
It's crazy,
it's
huh?
Sending that info to the government, which you work for, so it's fine.
Well, what's crazier is you can go pull up the detail, and it has the information about all of the steps. So it's not just on just you walk this many steps. It's at this point on this day you walked this far, then this point you walked this far. So it's pretty crazy in the way that it tracks everything.
And my favorite is it must also use the altimeter, because it tells me about the flights of stairs I've climbed.
Yep. It does all kinds of crazy stuff like that. We've since gotten a Bluetooth scale that syncs to it. So when you stand on the scale, it pushes our weight to it. It pushes my body fat to it. So I can track everything, and it's all graphed and everything. And my wife was not really happy with me for that. She didn't think that. She's like, why would I want a scale that graphs my weight? That's not a...
I agree.
But it's one of those things where... for me to be able to have it measured and to look back and see a graph of it makes me a lot more conscious of it. It's a lot easier for me to not worry about it if I can do something and it's not logged and I don't have to worry about it. Then I just say, just my weight's going up, but it's not that big of a deal. But when I have a line that's going up, that deters me more.
Right, right. Yeah, and you know, I think... One of the things that I learned when I, you know, one of the things I learned in the past when I was focused primarily on weight loss was that weighing myself every day was a bad thing, because then I focused more on that than on changing my lifestyle.
Yeah.
But that, you know, weighing myself once a week, every other week, that worked. You know, that then you had enough time accumulated that you can actually see an impact. And when you do that, and then you can, you know, graph the results, well, then you actually can see trend lines.
Yep.
You know, instead of being obsessed with the little ups and downs along the way.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for that. That's a great tool. And I'm really happy that I have that. Now I can play with it. And maybe even, you know, walk more and try and make it dance.
I may or may not have found myself walking around in circles on our downstairs floor trying to get my steps up to an arbitrary number that I've set for myself as a goal on numerous occasions.
Whatever works.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm really excited about this. Guys, I think this is a great idea, and I'm really glad that you know, people jumped on this, because it got me motivated to try and get this organized. And, you know, the Justin and Ryan and Sean really, you know, along with a few other folks, really did kind of push me to, you know, get moving on getting this organized. And so we got still got a ways to go. We've got some things we need to get done. But hopefully we'll have more information coming to you as we go, and in the next, you know, couple of weeks. But I think that we're probably close to wrapping up. But before we finish, I did want to kind of do a quick, you know, round robin. When we do a live show, I always like to kind of make sure that we've covered any recent news, recent topics, recent things that people have been interested in about Disney. So I'll do a quick round robin, see if there's any topics that are fresh on people's minds for this week. I'm going to go ahead and I'll let you guys volunteer. Does anybody have a particular topic they want to throw out to the panel?
Yes.
All right, let's hear it.
Star Wars Day at Sea on the cruise line. What the heck?
Very cool. Very cool. I'm glad you mentioned that one. So if you haven't been following the news, I guess just, was it last week?
Last week.
Really fast. Wow, last week.
Yeah.
Kind of totally out of the blue, Disney Cruise Line says, hey, by the way, Star Wars Day at Sea. They announced what amount to two Disney Fantasy cruises per month for the months of January, February, and March that will feature a Star Wars Day at Sea and some really extensive Star Wars experiences. I was pretty impressed with what they're putting together for what is a fairly limited. I mean, they really seem to be focusing this on a single day of a Disney Fantasy Western Caribbean cruise. Sean, what was the thing that caught your attention the most?
The fact that they managed to avoid most of the spring breaks that about 85% of the United States have.
I will admit that that was pretty impressive because, like most, I immediately checked those March dates. And, we miss our spring break, which is an unusually late or unusually – well, it's earlier than most spring breaks are, and it still misses us by a week.
A day here or there out of school, I could take her for Disney. I can't justify taking her out a whole week. I think this is a test to build us up to December when I think they're going to do a lot more with Star Wars on the cruise line. I mean, I think they've decided we need to get that $4 billion back really quick.
Now, see, I have the opposite take. I think that this is Disney leveraging their $4 billion IP investment and them looking at the, profit per passenger on the late winter, early spring Disney Fantasy Western Caribbean cruises and saying, you know, we're only this far away from being able to meet our revenue targets. If we spend half of that with some really cool extra Star Wars events, we'd pump it back up where we want to be.
Well, and the really funny thing is there's probably a lot of costume groups that have better costumes than Disney could afford. Well, I should take that back. Probably not, given what their stock's been doing the last month. I'm pretty proud of them. We've done this before where we've talked. I know they're going to do more Star Wars at Hollywood Studios. I know there's going to be a Star Wars meal that's outside of Star Wars weekends. I'm not saying that like I know it like for a fact. I just believe it in my heart so much that it's going to happen.
Oh, I think you're right about that stuff. I don't think there's any question.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, I think this is all about getting people in beds. Like the fact that it misses all the spring breaks, I'm sure those are the weeks that are going to be the lowest for booking.
Right.
And whenever Disney does anything or most of what Disney does is about getting people into rooms. I mean, we're on a Run Disney podcast. That's the whole point of Run Disney, to come and stay at the resorts. And, yeah. You know, this I'm sure is something similar. It's, you know, this is going to get those cruise ships will be full now. They may have been full before, but these will now be full, and they will probably be full at pretty close to full price. So,
yeah,
it's a good thing.
Sure, and look, the thing about it is, I make light of it, but they really did come up with some great experiences, and whether it costs them a bunch or not, I don't so much care. What I care about is I look at it and I'd say, that's really cool. I want to do that. And it's worth paying the difference. Now I still run into the same problem that Sean does in that I just can't take the kid out of school for a week anymore, during the school year. But, you know, they're talking about all of the things that we keep saying we want to see in the parks. I mean, they're going to show, first of all, they're going to show all six existing films in the, you know, in the theaters on board. And that'll extend beyond just the one day.
Plus the Clone Wars, plus Rebels.
Right, right. Plus additional content, plus characters, plus, you know, all these great meet and greets. My favorite is that they're actually going to retheme the adult entertainment areas. The bar is going to be turned into the cantina.
That's amazing.
It is.
Especially themed drinks.
And they will have the Jedi Training Academy.
Yes.
Although, once again, limiting it to those little tiny humans as opposed to us, they also want to be a Jedi Padawan someday. Just saying.
How about you, Justin? Anything in particular catch you about those Star Wars cruises?
I've not yet been on a cruise, but the idea of a Star Wars cruise makes it more intriguing for me. It still won't get my wife on a boat, but.
Well, that's perfect. You got somebody to leave the kids with then. You don't have to worry about pulling them out of school.
Yeah, that's not going to fly.
It was worth a shot.
Maybe when my son is about 4 or 5 years older.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, so that was great news out of Disney. And I like what it says big picture, which is that I think Disney's doing a much better job of, or at least starting to do a better job of leveraging this, you know, intellectual property catalog that they've got across all of their properties. We haven't seen that very well for quite a while. And I think that's a good sign because I think that makes for good guest experiences. All right, anybody else? Justin or Ryan, anything in the Disney world, so to speak, catch your attention?
This actually isn't in the Disney world. I have a question for Sean because I think Sean has done something that I would like to do and am kind of curious about. Is that all right?
If it's killing the guy in Reno, I swear I didn't do it.
Well, I'm curious just to get feedback from somebody that's run races on both the East and West Coast. You know, what you thought the difference was between the two different coasts. Have you done races on both or just
I've done races on
the West Coast?
The Atlantic. I have not done a race at Disney World. I've been there for races at Disney World, but I've been part of them for people that were running for teams. There's a total difference in Disneyland, and I can't describe it in a way that would make sense other than you have the whole world to do what you want in Florida. In Anaheim, you have what you have in Disneyland and the backlot properties, but you're venturing into Anaheim, the city, and they don't want to close down their streets very often if they don't have to. Which is probably the reason why they haven't done a marathon in Anaheim in, what, 21 years?
Yeah.
But as far as fun for me, I think Anaheim's more fun because I get to see more of what's going on behind the scenes. I mean, when you're running back lot and the third shift custodians are there with signs for the runners going, the third shift custodial crew cheers you on, that's pretty cool. And you get to see the trains that aren't on the tracks being serviced. And it's kind of that sneaky backlot stuff that you always want to see. And, yeah, it only costs you a couple $100 to register and then fly is another $1,000. And, yeah, it's a pretty expensive backlot tour.
But in Florida, you get to see the sewage treatment plant and you get to smell the behind the scenes of Animal Kingdom. Like,
you got some exciting things on the Utilidors. It's not cool for me. Like, if they wanted to really make that worthwhile, let me run under the Magic Kingdom. Let me see what's going on.
That would be cool.
But honestly, Disneyland was never – my first trip there, I did nothing for me. And it took two more trips for me to go, wow, I really do like this place. So – and doing the Avengers run there was just amazing because we were all Avengered out and they have the Meet Thor – and Thor picked my daughter out because she's wearing a Loki shirt. And yeah, I did that on purpose. And I mean, it just, I don't know how to describe it. It just feels cool. And the people in California who are running the Run Disney races are way different. The people I've talked to who do the Florida races, and not speaking to everybody, just the ones that I've talked to, have a bit more intensity, whereas the California ones may be intense, but they're more laid back about their intensity. I don't know if that makes sense, but it does to me, so.
That's cool.
I would like to – there's a couple of things, commentary I have about Run Disney in itself. Run Disney is a very I would say more casual run experience than what you might do if you were just racing in your local runs, and much more supportive. It's a good place. You know, they're expensive, but you the quality of service that you pay for, you get your money's worth. One thing I would like to see from Run Disney is they put the Avengers and the Star Wars out west, and I would like to see them do something with those genres at in Florida, because just because I think that the population of the U.S. Going out west is not accessible to a large portion of the country. So it'd be nice to have some of the male-driven races anchored in Florida as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I noticed that, and it seems to me the Star Wars race in particular, I really thought we would get on the East Coast. You know, I understood why they couldn't do a Marvel race on the East Coast because they've got the whole problem with the Universal deal. But that's exactly why I thought that we'd get a Star Wars race on the East Coast. And it didn't seem to happen. So maybe after the Hollywood Studios work is done, you know, they'll bring it back to the East. But I share your surprise and somewhat disappointment in the way they handled that.
Well, we're losing two races on the East Coast. We're losing Tower of Terror and we're losing Expedition Everest. So I think when people were speculating, because Everest is so close to Star Wars weekend, they were thinking that that was going to go away this year and become the Star Wars half, which obviously didn't happen.
That was
so maybe
guess.
Next year. Yeah, I mean, that's what seemed to make sense to everyone. So maybe next year in 2016, after the final Everest, they'll do a Star Wars half during it. I think I read somewhere or heard the head of Run Disney saying they were purposefully moving races out west to be a good neighbor to the community in Anaheim, because every race weekend brings in an incremental $20 million in revenue to the local businesses there.
Wow.
So it's insane to think that, you know, that's not the money Disney makes. That's just the revenue everybody else gets to pick up whenever Run Disney does a race. So they were trying to do stuff for Anaheim. And so this has been an explicit or a purposeful move for them to help the surrounding community. So it's not just so maybe there's something else going on there. You know, we talked, I think, on one of the rumor shows about a third park. So maybe I wonder what Disney could be trying to get favors for Anaheim for.
Interesting thought. Well, you know, the news piece that caught my attention over the last couple of weeks that we haven't had a chance to talk about on the show before is similarly not actually Disney Parks news, but it's Marvel news, because the news has broken that the rumors that came up during the you know, the whole Sony email leak thing turned out to be true, that the discussions about bringing Spider-Man back into the Marvel Cinematic Universe were not in fact dead. They were still ongoing. And so it's now official that there's a deal Disney is able to bring Spider-Man into the Marvel Cinematic Universe films, and will be collaborating on some level with Sony on their Spider-Man movies going forward. I think this is great news. It's really exciting to me that Marvel is beginning to bring back in as many of their characters as they can, because I think it's good overall for their narrative and, you know, their being able to maintain control over their intellectual property. But it's going to, you know, have some interesting impact on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There are rumors that go back and forth about whether Spider-Man is going to appear in Civil War. Originally, everybody said, no, it's too late. And then we heard, well, maybe he still might be able to make a cameo. He's certainly expected to be in the first part of Infinity War, which is still a couple of years down the road. But either way, I think it's good news. My only hesitation, the only thing I'm not excited about, is a couple of the rumors have suggested that the Black Panther movie may be in jeopardy, and that the Ms. Marvel movie, or Inhumans, one or the other, or both, might be in jeopardy as well as they blend in Spider-Man. But I thought it was interesting news. Anybody else? Thoughts? Comments?
I think I had read something about Spider-Man, but hadn't been thinking about that as much. I did finally see the preview for Ant-Man in front of McFarland USA, and was pleasantly surprised with that.
Good, good. What did you think of McFarland USA, by the way?
I thought it was good. Like, it was a very uplifting movie. We went and saw it with our neighbors who are not running people, and they enjoyed it as well. So I think it has a broader appeal than just running. It's not Shakespeare, but it was good. It was humorous, and we all enjoyed it. So.
Good, good. All right. I was curious how that one would go. It's the annual Disney feel-good sports movie, so.
Yeah, and it does its job very well for that. I would definitely see it on DVD. I don't know that everybody needs to go see it in the movies, but I would definitely go see it on DVD. And Coy said that, you know, he heard it was family-friendly. I think there were one or two bad words in it, but, yeah, it was very, very, very – very, very family friendly. My daughter, who's 9, saw it, and there weren't any issues, so it was good.
Great, great. So, Justin, any Disney community news that strikes your fancy that you think we ought to chat about here before we wrap up?
I don't know if it's Disney community news, but I will be attending DisDad's convention for next January.
There we go. It's a major announcement, guys.
It's my community, and it's Disney related. So
that's great. You're on board. I'd like to hear that.
For those of you that are looking at doing Marathon Weekend, early registration opens April 14th, and real registration opens April 28th. So put those dates down, particularly if you want to do something that's likely to sell out. I think Dumbo sold out in pre-registration in 10 minutes, which is insane. And then the regular one sold out in 26 minutes. So it's getting harder and harder to get into a Disney race. So you guys need to, if you want to do it for DisDad Convention 4, plan ahead.
That's right. So get ready, because it is only, you know, what, 2.5 months away?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It seems that all the Disney run Disney races are becoming day of opening registration required.
Well, now it's even hour of opening or less. Some of the marathon, I think, took longer last year to sell out, and I think Goofy actually took a while. But Dopey sold out in minutes. The 10K sold out very, very quickly, and the half sold out fairly quickly as well.
All right. Well, actually, I think that's a great way to wrap up because, you know, it does give people a heads up for something that's coming up quickly, and it brings us back to the topic we started with, which is, you know, the DizDads community and support for those folks who are kind of just getting started in the running thing and are interested in doing more of it. So, you know, one last request. I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but if you haven't been by and left an iTunes review for the show recently, we'd really appreciate it if you would go to iTunes and post a review. Even if you listen directly on the website or you listen through Stitcher, go ahead and go to iTunes and leave us a review. New reviews help our show come up in search results when people are looking for a Disney podcast, and so it gives us a really... It's a big help when it comes to exposure to new listeners, and we like to continue to bring our message to new folks and bring new folks into the community. Like always, we'd love to hear from you and love to hear what you think. We've given you some topics especially to talk about. We're looking for ideas to name our virtual 5K. We're looking for medal designs, anybody who has ideas for a DizDads medal. Go ahead and send those on. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit the blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Sean McCumber, who had to step away early, Justin West.
Good night, folks.
And Ryan Treichler.
Good afternoon, everybody.
And shut up, Carl.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.